Very good morning as you begin your AFL footy weekend right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues. This show is brought to you by the official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues. Your hosts today are myself, Chris Brownie, joined by Craig Bradford, Mal Hall and Jesse Goldsworthy. On the show this morning, we look at the AFL and Blues news and look back at the game against the Swans and preview the game against the Eagles. Special guest live interview today is dual premiership star, the General Peter Dean. We cross live to the Hype and David Rees-Jones for the much-anticipated The Shirt Front, provide information on WA Blues events and anything else in footy we can squeeze into the hour. But first, Craig, this show could not be brought to you without our sponsors.
No, definitely can't. And we'd like to thank WA Blues' major sponsor, Hyundai WA, Platinum Sponsors, Allmark & Associates, Master Picture Framers, Tech Tiger, Barbara Butchers, and ICU Finance Group.
That hits for you and me for mucking up so early into the show.
See, I only done that
You're
because...
You're off to a cracker, guys.
I just thought I'd make him look good by doing one myself, so I hope he feels okay.
Once again, a great shout-out to our sponsors. As we said, we can't do this show
Definitely
without
can't.
Them, and we really appreciate it. Morning, all. How are we, Jesse and Mel?
Good, thank you.
We're great, guys.
Up and about? Seem a bit down? Are you all okay?
No, up and about now. We've had, four or five days to get over the loss.
No, I haven't.
Well, I'm sorry to do this to you, but talking about the loss, let's go and review it.
All right, so, well, put
pretty
it...
Pretty simple, we lost.
Yeah, pretty simple, we lost. We go down by 22. It was the same sort of loss as well. It just happened, and you could see it happening again. It was just rinse and repeat, so repetitive. It's been that way the entire year, unfortunately, for the Blues. But I think most people would agree, and every member and supporter would probably agree, that it was lost at match committee, the game. I think they threw the towel in before the ball was even bounced with the side they fielded. I don't know what you guys thought about it, but that was my personal take on it.
So who in particular are we talking about here, Jesse?
Levi Casbolt went down back to try free up Wiedering to kind of play that intercept mark role, but I think Wiedering's a good enough player. He got picked at pick one for a reason. I think he can do that himself. And I think we just missed an opportunity, and then the whole use of the word managed the last couple of weeks, and then you omit Murphy. It just seems the messaging isn't very clear or transparent at the moment, which has been disappointing. However, back to the game, we actually played some really, really good footy in patches, which has been the same old story.
We dominated. Get so excited. When we see these little snippets, yeah, and then it just all falls away.
We dominated in that second quarter and just couldn't put it on the scoreboard. And when the momentum started to shift in our favour, it was Sydney that went, you know what, all right, we're going to make a response out of this. And they swung the momentum back in their way, something which we need to take a leap out of their book and go, look at the way they did it, because, again, I think they had two or three four-goal runs. So it didn't get to five, but I think two or three four-goal runs, which is just not on.
Now, we've talked about this week in, week out.
Yeah.
Red time.
Oh,
in time on.
Yeah, we average 6 red time goals a game. Yeah. So what's that, 10 rounds so far? So 66 goals conceded in red time. Mm.
Now, it happened again in the first quarter last week. We looked like we were about three goals up.
Yep.
With about 2 minutes to play, and they just kicked four straight.
Yep.
Four straight, yep.
And
yep.
they took, we played probably... That first quarter was so good, and what, we were 4 points down at the end of it or something, 3 points down at the end of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't good enough.
It was disappointing.
It was like, summed it up really when Jones and Wiedering clashed with each other and Buddy took that mark and kicked the goal. That's when I thought,
we're in trouble.
Just starting to fall apart a little bit.
Look, we've got this great young talent in Tom DeConing.
He was good, but he just didn't get in the
center
enough.
They don't play him enough.
In the ruck.
In the ruck.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
And like his leap, and especially, I know we'll talk with David Rees-Jones later in the show, preview the Eagles game. Now, if he doesn't play in the ruck against Nick Nat, He'll monster Pitnet, so
get smashed.
He will, won't
he?
So, look, I just hope they give him some more game time because he is such a superb and a super talent.
Yeah, he is.
And athleticism and his tap work, right? Like, Pitto's a what's the word? He's a bull, okay. Yeah. But he doesn't jump.
No.
But he's around the ground. He's really valuable. He's been really good for us so far this year. But I think in the centre, like, that was something that was glaringly obvious. Something was happening when TDK was in the centre.
Do they start with Deconing in the centre and use Pitnet around the ground?
I would have Deconing in the centre and Pitnet be sitting on the bench, and then they'll just rotate when he needs a break. That would be my opinion. Yeah. But
we didn't fire a shot in the last quarter. We were saying that just before we went on. I think unfortunately Harry hit the had a couple of rush kicks towards the end, which I've got no problem with because he's still
four behind.
Five. I've played forward all my life, and if you're getting shots off on goal, that's the main thing. At least you're finding the ball. He did probably rush his last two shots, and then he hits the post. So really, he's probably had one pure, genuine miss. I think that was from 40-odd out, I think. He ended up with the three goals. So even his bad games, he's still... That's what's been the big improvement with Harry this year, is even his lesser games, he's still... managing to kick his two or three a game.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we did lose it at the selection table because Sydney's too such tall. A small ground. Mm. We didn't need that extra tall.
No.
Nah.
And if you have a look, when you come out of the centre, you bypass your centre forward and you're going straight to that full forward.
Yep.
So, and to have Levi another tall and then to put him back, he just looked a bit slow. We looked slow down.
I just
back.
Don't understand.
Didn't you say last week our sides, like, we've gone really big?
Yeah.
You know, didn't we touch
on
that?
Yeah, we touched on
that.
Yeah.
I don't know why you wouldn't play Parks in that sort of role. Well, I don't know. Instead of Levi, but that was the...
On a good note, how good was Eddie Betts' goal?
Oh, that was. I've got a couple of good notes on here. Yeah, I do. But that was awesome.
Just pure class, isn't it?
Yeah, it took me back to my childhood when he was back playing for the Blues.
I thought you were going to say your childhood when you used to snag him, Jesse.
Yeah, but...
That goal actually is up for goal of the year.
Yeah.
So everyone get behind it and vote.
Mm.
Let's do a Cripps' Collingwood
performance, well, that was just a leader's performance.
Mm.
He stood up. He was one of the only ones that looked like he just wanted to keep going with it.
Isn't it great to see a change in the way Cripps play? He's really stepped it up.
That's why I've highlighted his performances over the last couple of weeks, even though he hasn't had the big numbers. I've just felt like he's been building and he's been playing a real consistent brand of football at the moment. And now, finally, he's starting to hit the scoreboard and even kick that set shot, which... He tends to miss a little bit, but he looked really, really good. He looked solid. He actually, I don't know if it was because I watched the highlights before the game, but just the way he was moving and picking up the ball one-handed a few times kind of reminded me of that wet 2013, I think it was, SCG, Chris Judd.
Oh, yes.
I remember he ran right. I know he didn't have the amount of touches as Juddy ended up with, but his contested work around the get ground and stuff, it had similarities to that. But, at the end of the day, we didn't walk away with chocolates, which is the main thing.
No, as you said earlier on, it's the same thing again. We just got to stop. I don't know how we do it.
No.
I'm sure if we did, we'd be the coach down there and we'd fix everything up. I don't know. They just fall away. They just looked like they had no energy in that last quarter.
I've got a question mark here saying high performance and Andrew Russell. And what's going on there? We can't run out games. We're managing 22-year-olds mid-season at the moment. Are they just not fit enough? Are they just they can't run games out? I don't know. What do you guys reckon?
I think it comes down to having the will to want to run it out. Do they want to run it out, or do they just take the easy option and say, "Oh, nah"? Well, that's what worries me.
Well, on that. Tiggy had an interview with Mark Robinson on AFL 360, I think it was.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But he says there's no urgency around the team or his job, despite the finals hopes fading. I mean, how can the coach come out and say that? And when, you know, it's just... There's got to be some urgency about it, guys. We just want to win.
I actually think that's been taken the wrong way in what Teague was saying.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem the sort of coach that won't take, you know, not urgency. Probably urgency wasn't the correct word that they should have used.
Yeah.
I think a lot of that was taken out of context and taken the wrong way.
Anyway, Anyway, well, we move on. We move on, and we've got the Budgies tomorrow.
Yes.
And
God, I hope we smash them.
Oh, goodness, please.
Let's just hope we can play a full four quarters.
Yeah.
You know what? If there's ever, like, if we're going to get them, we're going to get them tomorrow because they have got some massive outs.
I agree.
And
I wish it was at the MCG, though.
Oh,
but anyway, that's another story. Anyway, yep, thank you, Jesse. I know that have been hard, but as I said, look.
Could have kept going on.
Three quarters. I did ask you just do it to three-quarter time, but no, we have to go through for
that. Well, I did kind of miss the last quarter there. I didn't really want to talk about it too much.
Nothing to talk about.
No, there wasn't.
It's all good. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, mate. Now, Craig, let's move on to Blues injury updates, ins and outs, milestones, news, whatever.
Okay,
we've got
we'll start with a positive with the news. Carlton had a press conference yesterday announcing another co-major sponsor in Great Southern Bank. They were formerly a platinum partner, but have come to the fort as of yesterday to be a major sponsor, co-major sponsor. So that was great news in the current climate to get another major sponsor, which was good. On the footy news, as we know, Zach Fisher is back this week.
Big in.
Must have been our chat with him last week.
Yeah,
inspired him to get back out in the track. So it's good to see him back. Also coming back into the side is from injury is Paddy Dow.
I'm looking forward to that.
Sorry to jump in. Can I just ask a question to you guys?
Okay.
Zach Fisher's been out since round...
Round two, yep.
No match practice at all. Okay, he's fit and that. Is he going to be ready to go?
Is this something we do wrong, or
you're talking about high performance? We bring people in that have no match simulation or anything like that.
Mm.
So
whether they're putting him through match simulations during training. Yeah. Who knows?
Probably, I'd take the gamble on him.
I would too. Definitely.
Yeah. He did kick four against the Eagles on return last year.
He adds that little bit of spark up forward as well too. You know, you've got him and Eddie.
I think it's the same case with like Jack Martin. Some players that level of VFL between the AFL, it's just there's too big a gap.
Yeah.
So that was basically, well, we've covered the ins and outs now.
Oh, you forgot Parks.
No, he's not in.
He's not
playing.
No, there's
only two ins, and that's Dow and Fisher.
I thought I must have missed the last.
And Murphy's named in the 22.
Yeah, Kaz Bolt and Gibbons go out, so... Murphy's named on the interchange bench.
Yeah, will he be sub again?
No, he's actually
on the interchange bench. So they've named
who will be sub.
There's four emergencies named. So,
who are the emergencies, Craig?
There was
Fogarty, Casbolt, Parks, and Silence.
Honey. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I don't know who they are.
What about Setters?
No, he's in.
He's in.
Yeah. Just.
Anyway.
Yeah. And as we stated before, it was Eddie Betts again nominated for Goal of the Year. So something good come out of that. Just following on with our current list of injuries, as we know, Cunningham's gone for the year. The big one, Charlie Curnow. Again, seeing clips during the week of him running around. And the, Sam Emmon on SEN actually stated that if you go watch training and watch Charlie run around, you'll think, what's wrong with him?
Nothing.
That he reckons he is ripped.
Ed? Yeah. Did you hear Ed talking about that? Yeah. That was awesome.
Ed reckons he's just going to come back better.
Better than before.
And now we've got a time, like a round.
Round 16. 15. Round 15, 16, yeah. I think. I 10, they might sneak him a bit earlier, but anyway.
If we win a few games, maybe. If we get on a roll.
Yeah, hopefully. So, and just continuing with our injuries, Corey Durden, they reckon will play after the bye. Zach Fisher, as we know, is back. Michael Gibbons will probably miss 1 to 2 weeks with his hammy. Marchbank for the year. McDonald, they're hoping to return back shortly. Mitch McGovern is actually back running, so hopefully he might not be as long. They've just now got him as a updated, no dates or lengthwise. And Sam Phillips out for the rest of the year. So, and that's just basically. Oh, and just with our mid-season draft, picking up a childhood blue bagger, Alex Murkoff, who was very pumped to become a blue bagger.
Very happy with the way you pronounce that, too, Craig.
Mm. Mate, I've been practicing. And we picked up what's his Jordan Boyd from the Footscray. He looked, looking at his clips, he looks like he's a good hard gut running, and he's got a bit of skill too. Yeah. So hopefully that goes well. As also, some wish to both boys good luck.
Mm. Well, young Alex actually came out and said it was in his wildest dreams to become an AFL player, being able to pull on the navy blue. As an official player is just the biggest honour, and he's so much pride.
We've got a few of them now at Carlton, which is good. You want people that followed the Blues
that
want
to wear that jumper with pride.
Wear it, yeah.
Oh, look at Cotters.
Yeah, like, Cotters. You know. Doherty's one, Levi's one.
Okay, all right. So that's it, Craig?
Yep.
Okay, then. All right. Mel, what have we got in AFL news?
Well, there's like, we could go on with the COVID. Like, it's crazy. Been thrown into turmoil.
We've been thrown into turmoil, let me tell you, Mel.
I know.
Both Craig and myself can't get to Melbourne. But anyway.
Okay, sorry. Before I
start. Before I start, I've
got to do a massive shout out before I forget. I know she's listening right now. A massive big chookers to my beautiful daughter, Maddie, who's competing in the RAD Fest today in ballet. So go, baby.
Good luck. Best half point.
Good luck.
We're here for your half point.
Anyway, back to the news. The most craziest thing was the South Australian Chief of Public Health. Oh, has everyone heard how stupid this is? Don't touch the ball. Like, it is just, like, if it comes into the crowd,
don't touch it. And then she said, sanitise before you touch it, then after you touch it. I hand the ball's cut off, sanitise my hands.
Duck and miss, like, what the heck? It's just ludicrous.
South Australians, that's all I'll say.
She's not a sportsman. <South Australian.
laughs> What I found hilarious is on the front bar, Mick Molloy came out and said the safest place to be will be directly behind the Collingwood goals. And I just thought that was gold.
Jack Crisp for Collingwood kind of rebutted that by kicking a goal at Holden Centre up and going, yeah, that's for you, Adelaide. Blah, blah, blah. I'm coming for you. So it's quite funny.
And then obviously we've got Dreamtime at Optus Oval. It's going to be massive tonight. They reckon we're going to get full 60,000. But I know we are all, like, everyone who's been listening to the show, I could have won tickets, like, to go to, but I'm like, why would I want to go and watch Richmond at Essendon? Like,
I agree. Why?
But then they're doing the big walk. They, you know,
I get into that. That's all for a good cause.
And
but
they reckon
Essendon,
it's going to be about 30,000 doing this walk, so it's going to be massive.
It's good for the state as well.
And just Collingwood in a world of pain.
Good.
Everyone's heard about this, and I know.
Good.
Yep, and I just wanted to rub it in a little bit more. They cannot take a trick, and they cannot even play on the field, let alone behind the scenes. They're in turmoil.
Good. Let it go, let it go. Let it fester for a long time. Let it go. Anyway, look, it's time now. We better go for a break and a few words from our sponsors. And when we return, we cross live to dual premiership star, the General. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues. Now it's time to cross live to dual premiership player and Carlton star Peter Dean. Good morning, Peter, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Good, mate.
We're all going well here, mate. Hey, Pete, before I let the panel ask you a few questions, mate, can you let the listeners know what you're actually doing these days?
Myself and my family have been living up in Albury on the border of New South Wales and Victoria for the last, getting towards 8 years now. My wife and I run a distribution business, and in regards to cosmetics and body products and shampoos and that sort of thing. So it hasn't helped me with my looks, but she's going all right. And I've got a young one, my son's 13. And I coach his under 14 footy team, and I've coached a footy team, local footy team where my family's from, about 80 k's out of town, on a farming community. And I'm currently coaching on the committee and coaching the reserves at the moment. Had a big coaching rep teams and for footy and helping out with basketball and that sort of stuff. So still pretty heavily involved in sport. Mainly with kids now.
So not a lot's changed, mate. You're still as busy as ever, hey?
Yeah, probably. Everyone said when I moved out of Melbourne, What are you going to do up there? I reckon I'm busier up here than I was in Melbourne.
Morning, Peter. Craig Bradford here. How are you?
Good, thanks, Craig. How are you?
Good, mate. Listen, I know firsthand as a young kid, you were an absolute gun basketballer, as in playing squad basketball against you and everything else. What actually made you choose footy over basketball, and how did you get to Carlton?
Craig, I love them, but still do, and still playing basketball. It was probably, and you can see it, I've been thinking about that lately with my young fella. He's handy at basketball, and it's probably the progression of the kids. You've got a lot more mates, I suppose, in footy, and it's a lot more inclusive to a degree with 18 players on the ground. And Carlton was, I come from Bendigo in country Victoria, and in those days I was pre-draft, and Carlton's country zone was around the Bendigo area, so that's how I got to Carlton. I played basketball up until I moved to Melbourne, and I did have a lingering suspension from a finals game in Bendigo, and I couldn't play, which I missed the first three games of the 1984 season, and asked Wes Lofts, the chairman of selectors, if I could play in the Vic Country Basketball Championships in the under-20s, I think it was. So that was my last hurrah with a heap of mates I'd played basketball with every year since I was about 10 years old in the rep squad. So, yeah, basketball was still pretty high on my list, and I encourage all the kids I train with footy and coach in footy to try and play basketball, because it really does help with their footy.
Yeah, totally.
Definitely does.
I agree with that.
Being a basketballer.
Totally agree with that. That peripheral vision, and also too, you look at what's his name, Scotty Pendlebury, ex-basketball, and just the way the basketball player and a footy, the way they move, mate, it does help. I think I totally agree with you there.
Yep. And it's a different sort of fitness basketball. It's short, sharp running and sideways. You're basically going 360 degrees, and you watch a lot of the Aussie rules players who have played basketball. They move pretty well within that short, confined, contested area, and certainly does help.
Good morning, Peter. It's Mel here. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks, Mel. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, good. Mate, I just want to touch on the 87 grand final and the win against the Hawks. We talk to the Hive, David Rees-Jones, every weekend on our show. What was it like playing up against the Hive? And also the grand final win, obviously.
Yeah, going back to just predating David's arrival at Carlton, and I think it was 1985, I think David came, and 80 or 84 or 85, I reckon David and I had a bit of push and shove in the goal square in front of the old Heatley stand there, and I had David over the fence, pushed over the fence to a degree, leaning over backwards. And I can always remember the couple of people in the cheer squad were pulling his hair, and David then had an adrenaline rush and flipped me around. He had me over the fence, and I think I saw David coming out of the club rooms in one of his interview or his welcome to the club, and met him, shook hands. And Bruce and I have got along terrifically over the years, gone away together and that sort of stuff, with a couple of Carlton things to London, and ripping fella. And everyone can't believe that he's a good bloke off the field, but he's one of the best blokes off the field too.
Morning, Peter. It's Jesse here. How's things?
Good, thanks, Jesse. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. You represented Victoria in 86 and 95. What was it like playing in the Victorian side? Obviously, with all the other players in the VFL and AFL at that stage.
It was a great honour. I was like a little kid in a lolly shop. I remember training at the MCG and probably one of the best stories out of it is getting to meet Graham Richmond, Ted Whitten and Bob Skilton, who were chairman of the VAT. All three were on the selection committee. And once you walked in, they all shook your hand, and probably except for Graham, Teddy Whitten shook your hand, and you knew you had a handshake, had a hand. He would squeeze the living daylights out of it. But I can still remember all those fellas, the piercing eyes, that competitive, those competitive eyes where they'd been honed by a lot of competition over the year, and they were fierce competitors. So yeah, great experience. Got to play against South Australia in South Australia at Adelaide Oval. In 1986, I only got on for a little while and came on as a skinny 81 kilo fella and played full back on Granville Dietrich, who was
yeah, remember him?
Had a little pot gut, and I thought, how does this bloke get a game in the state team? But he was a very good player. He was probably the equivalent to Tony Lockett in South Australia at that time. I think he kicked two or three on me, and then that was it, I was off. So, lost that game, and then was lucky to play in the B team up in Queensland, and we actually lost that game as well. So, haven't had a good success there, yeah, but thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed meeting opposition players and getting to know them, and still know them to these days.
Mate, just looking back to the 95 Premiership side, just looking at that side, the back six, like there was Soss, Macca, Michael Sexton, Chris Du, yourself. What was it like actually playing with these guys? It just seemed like you guys gelled and you just knew where to be and where to kick and find these guys.
Yeah, probably stemmed back from the 94 season where we had a review, or coming into the end of the season of 95, had a bit of a heart-to-heart talk with all the 10 to 15 of the older players. And one of our midfielders had a bit of a dig at us about black and white questions. How do we get more run? We need more run out of our back. And so the conversation went on. And you probably know there's a few of our midfielders got a lot of 30 to 40 to 50 touches in the previous year and we didn't go to that next step. But anyway, after the meeting, we got the backs together and we just said, right, bugger the midfielders. We're going to, every time we take a mark, we get a free kick. We're going to look for the backman running from behind. And let's bypass the midfields and kick it to the forwards ourselves. So we sort of did that. Yeah, and the little one on the end of that was, let's have a competition, see which backman can kick the most goals. So, yeah, we worked pretty well that year. There wasn't too many fellas who did not have a bad season.
So who actually won the goal-kicking comp?
Oh, I got a feeling I might have won with about four or five or something. I can't actually remember. I have to go and do my research on that one again. But
I think you might be right.
I don't think it didn't really worry us. We got the prize that we're after, and all our players in the team, especially on that day, there was a few fellas who missed out on a selection, but there was no passengers that day. And if you have a look at the film of the camera going down the lineups of both teams, we by far had the more focused look.
Yeah, totally agree, mate. Hey, mate, let's just stay at the 95 grand final for a minute. Mate, the medal presentation, mate, what was the go there? When, can you tell the listeners about the...
I wasn't alive, so I want to know.
It was good.
I wasn't too good a player, but my claim to fame is I've changed the presentation of grand final medals twice, in 87 and 95. So the 95 one, I was happy. And anyone ever gets the chance to be a part of a winning AFL Premiership team, I'll just float on air. That was my euphoric. And I just tried to. I was wearing my screens that day, and the screens, the old fashioned screens, had four stops at the front and two, I think, at the back, and a bit of hard plastic holding them together in the middle. And I thought I could stand up, pump the fist, to the arms, to the southern stand, and then just jumped down and away I went. But yes, it's been made public a bit more over the last, but got missed on the actual day, but it's been made public over the last couple of years. Yeah, a bit embarrassing, but people say, why'd you do that? And I just said, well,
premiership.
Yep. Yeah, it was either that or trying to climb the goalpost. But
that's been done by the Sydney brand, mate.
Yeah. Yeah. In 87, just quickly, three players missed out on that game that day. Des Inglis contracted cancer in the pre-season. Peter Motley had a very bad car accident, which was career-ending. And Bernie Evans got suspended after the second semi. So both three guys missed, and they were part of a team. I'd done a bit of a presentation, Bob Hawke and Ross Oakley. And while I was up there getting my medal, I elbowed Bob Hawke out of the road, grabbed the microphone and said, Bernie, Des, Motts.
Beautiful.
Four-word expletive. Effing beautiful.
Yep.
And, so ever since 87, when the players come up, apart from the Norm Smith medalist and the captain, there's no microphones on the stage. And after 95, you'll notice OH&S has taken away all any sort of
stand.
apparatus that anyone can climb on. Yeah.
You've done well, mate.
Yes. Well, two of life's most embarrassing moments.
Mate, hold your head high. Hold your head high.
Yeah.
I'm just going to touch on it. You played 248 games for Carlton. Now, in the number 35, you were the only one, you were the record number of games in the number 35. Now, for me, Ed Kerno is one of my favourites. These guys know that in here. How good is it to see the number 35 and someone like Ed wearing that guernsey? Does it make, do you have a certain sense of pride with the number 35?
Yeah, yeah. When I first started playing, I got that number first off, and I think Dennis Lanigan from Bendigo wore that. I think it was Steve Miller from South Australia wore it for a little bit as well. And I think it's Bert Connolly or John Connolly is played 100 games, 100-odd games, and his name was on the lock, and always pretty much regularly looked at that every time, wondered what sort of player he was. And I was lucky enough to have a little bit to do with Ed and his under-18. He played for the under-18 Vic Metro team in the, I think it was about 2002 National Championships, and really good fella. Very polite and that sort of thing. And I've sort of, over years, I've caught up with him and got his phone number and just sent a message every now and again. And another former player, War 35, he took interest in me when I was at the club, so I sort of carry that on a little bit as well. Yeah.
Peter, we have the Father Son Academy at Carlton. Will your son possibly make his way? I was just going to say, is he already on the Carlton Academy?
I'm not sure whether it's still going, but he hasn't. Yeah,
it is going.
The changed name's not in my name. It was a three-year thing.
Yep.
Yeah, a three-year span. That was the idea of it when it first happened. We haven't been down to Melbourne too much, and I actually haven't followed it too much over the last year or so. He's mad keen on his basketball and football. He's probably got more skill than I am. He's a left footer.
All left footers are good.
So he's smart. Yeah, he's a bit smarter than me. And so he's poor bugger. His mum's a defensive player in netball, and he's sort of got that defensive gene, so I'm trying to encourage him to play a bit more midfield and forward, but when he's playing forward, he usually ends up in the back line.
Mate, it's funny you talk of left footers. For me, back in that 80s era, how good was it to play with someone like Wayne Johnson?
Jono.
Especially finals.
Jono turned it on during finals. He could pump himself up.
tough as nails and very, very smart. As you can see by that first bounce, I think it was in the 87 grand final, he picked up the Hawthorn had five in the square. And so the ball actually never got bounced on that first bounce. And just a great great finals player and, just a good all-round player. Very tough as well,
Yeah, mate. All right, Pete, mate. We better wrap it up there, mate. On behalf of the entire WA Blues community, thank you very much for the great memories and sharing some of your precious time with us today. And as we always say on this show, mate, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues. Yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Pete. Much appreciated for your time.
Yeah, thanks.
Cheers.
For having us.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Pete. Peter Dean.
Good bloke, isn't he?
What a legend.
I tell you what, he was a sensational
tough
basketball.
As nails.
You know, and we didn't get to touch on Carlton Hall of Fame in 2000.
Yeah, I just wanted the listeners. I wanted him to talk about those times he was up on the rostrum after the premiership. Just let him talk about that. But anyway, look, time once again to go for a break and a few words from our sponsors. And when we return, we get our good mate David the Hyphen Reese Jones
with the Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous.
Welcome back. You're listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by the WA Blues. It's time now to give a very warm welcome to our great mate here on Breakfast with the Blues, 1987 Norm Smith medalist, premiership hero, David Rees-Jones. Good morning, David, and welcome to Breakfast with the Blues.
Good morning, guys. Yeah. I'm looking forward to the game this week against the Eagles. I suppose with the amount of injuries I've got, it's... basically 4 points, isn't it?
Oh, we'll take him, Hope. We'll take him.
we're hoping. Yeah. We should.
Dave, we were talking about it.
Well, there'd be no excuses. Absolutely no excuses whatsoever. And, it's a real crunch game.
It totally is. We were talking about it just before the show and we're saying, who's going to turn up? Are we going to play four quarters? We really should win this game because of the amount of injuries they've got out. But who knows who turns up when we play, mate? Who knows?
Well, that's it. Now, forward line's got to click. You know, that's going to be the real key. We've got to get the goals on the board. And as you say, they're a depleted side. When that happens, you need to take advantage of it and really just go hard from the start. So it'll be interesting to see tomorrow. And as I said before, there's going to be no excuses. And, if they get beat in this one, it will be a real low for the club because... we've put a lot of faith in these players and they haven't repaid it.
Yeah.
It was the disturbing part for us last week is we actually had a function at the Carlisle, so we were all there watching the game. They were on and off.
$7 pints, mate, $7 pints.
they were going down really well in the last quarter because I was so frustrated. But the first three quarters, on and off a bit, we were competitive, but... that last quarter, mate, did we even come out? It was just... it was atrocious.
You know, I don't think we've played a game where we've put four quarters together this year. It's been one of those years where they've lapsed and, only played for really three quarters of the game. And you got to play for 100% of the time early on, make excuses. I was getting to know each other and new people into the team, Williams and Saad and a few others. But I think we lose a lot of the selection table. I don't think we've been hard enough on our selections this year. And, last week, Casbolt sort of getting a game in front of Parks, I thought was ridiculous on that back line. And it showed up in the end. I mean, you want guys who are hungry, who want to get out there and perform and show what they can do. Unfortunately, I think in a lot of occasions this year they've just gone with the you can't even call it tried and true, can you? Because they haven't really performed at all. So, you need to start swinging things about when things like that happen.
Morning, Hive House Things.
Yeah, good.
We were talking about the selection committee or what happened there just before. Do you think they've made an improvement this week with bringing in? Obviously, Zach Fisher will be handy to have back in, but also giving Paddy Dow another run?
Yeah, I think so, and hopefully they give him a run. A guy like Paddy Dow, you've got to say, look, you've got 3 weeks, 4 weeks at it. We're going to back you in, and we're going to persist with you. and give you a chance, because he really hasn't had much of a chance, and you know that places enormous pressure on the kid coming in, and you know there must be a million things going through his mind instead of just the instinctive nature of football. And I think that's the real thing that we've done to quite a few players over the last few years, and haven't allowed them to develop. I mean, he's picked up at number 3, I think, wasn't he, Paddy Dow?
Yeah.
You know, so he's a very, very high and talented young kid. Not all number 3s are going to make it and be superstars, but they must have shown enough to be taken at that sort of level. So I'd be giving him at least 3 games and just say, look, you're in the team, you're there to stay, and we're not going to drop you if you, you know, don't perform. Get out there and just play footy and do what you do well, and put a bit of confidence to the kid, and hopefully he repays it.
Morning, Hyfe. Mel here. I just wanted to touch on, and I'm not sure if you actually saw it, but Callum Mills actually took a whack at Liam Stocker in the nether regions. The Nurries is what we're calling it here. But he's actually been thrown under the bus by Dermy by saying it's just, you don't do it. It's just an unspoken rule in the AFL. It's just off limits. What's your thoughts on something like that?
Oh, look, you know, it can happen from time to time because, you know, we've... You know, I don't think it was intentional to hit him there. I think probably got a little bit carried away with that one, because I don't think it was an intentional strike to that region. Get on with it, you know, and I wouldn't worry too much about it. You know, it can happen, and it will happen again.
Just with obviously in your day, Reece, after every week you'd review games and so forth. One thing that's frustrating me, and I bagged him at the start of the year, Lachie Fogarty has proven me wrong, but on 5 occasions this year, at least, he's run into open goals from 30 yards out and can't make the distance. Surely, if they're reviewing games, they can say to him to kick through it?
Once again, that probably is a confidence thing as well. You know, he just hasn't got the confidence to follow through with it, look, I've been reasonably impressed by his tackling pressure and his attitude and so forth. But you know, you wish a few of the others, and especially our leaders, would show a bit of the same grunt, I suppose you might want to call it.
Yeah, he just lets himself down though. You know, 30 yards out running into an open goal, you should be able to nail it.
Kick through it a bit.
Yeah, kick through it.
Yeah, well, you know, I guarantee at training he'd do it 99 times out of 100.
Correct.
But in that pressure of a game and the little man in the head sort of talking to you at times, I mean, players can get the yips, I suppose, at that level. But, it does happen.
We've seen TDK hold his own against Nick Nat last year over here in Perth. How do you see that matchup panning out on the weekend?
Yeah, I thought he did a great job last year. And the one thing about DeConning is he's a goer. He has a red-hot go. He's a player who, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing him when he's played 80, 90, games of AFL, and he's going to be a real, real bonus for us. And the more games we can get into him, the better. And the better ruckman he comes up against. Nick Nat, I think they've made him captain this week, which will be terrific for him and could inspire him to have a great game. And that could be dangerous for us because he's such a quality player. But we saw what Tom did against him last year, and hopefully he can fire up again this week.
Mate, David, Sydney Cricket Ground, you've played on it numerous occasions, and last week we went in very tall and we had Levi down back trying to play that role where Jacob Widdery would come across and spoil and intercept. This week's side, and I don't know what you think, I just think last week we were too heavy, especially for that ground. This week's side looks really good on paper, and it looks very balanced. We don't have that centre-half forward as such, and we don't have that extra in the back. What do you think about the side that they've actually picked for tomorrow? Do you think it's more balanced?
Yeah, I think so. I think, it's horses for courses, really, and you've got to look at the ground as much as anything else. I think they thought Levi could get back there and be a bit troubling for Buddy. I think, you know, they were a bit too Buddy conscious, I suppose, in the way they were thinking about going out there and playing. And obviously, Buddy had a great game the week before and kicked six or so. So I think they got a bit Buddy conscious by doing that and putting Levi back there. I don't think I think it played into the Swans' hands. You know, Levi's a bit slow and really played into their hands.
Yep. Hi, we all are sitting in here today with our Prada Willy pins on our chest, proudly. And I just want to tell you a funny story. This is how tragic I am. I was at work the other day and I get everything delivered to work and I had latched the front door and the postie, literally, I had to duck out the back. I was the only one in the office. They slid a card under my thing to go and collect posts, so I had to go and collect it. I was thinking it was going to be my hoodie, right? It was a stupid bloody modem. For home internet modem. I was so pissed off. My hoodie's not here yet. My hoodie's scheduled for delivery on Tuesday. I just want to get on board. We had a function last week and everyone was chipping in. I did a little spiel for the Prada Willy to try and get everyone on board. How's the fundraising going?
Yep. Yeah, look, we finished up on the Monday and, I think through what I was doing, we got about a bit over 11,000, I think, about 11,500, which was fantastic sort of thing. But overall, I think they got over 30,000. I'm not too sure what they were looking for all up, but there's tough times at the moment, as we know. So I think it was a lot of fun along the way too, and it was a bit of a shame that we got that COVID thing right at the end where I couldn't get those last couple of interviews in, but I managed to get my boy in there and he did quite okay. So
that was my favourite interview.
I think he was the star.
Yeah, it's amazing how many people. It was sort of a last minute sort of thought, and then everyone, you know, commented on that. It was terrific. And I thank the people over there for donating as well, and you know, everyone who chipped in, it was fantastic.
It must make you so proud. My favourite moment was when he just reached over and gave you a little kiss. I melted my heart, Hythe.
Yeah, he's a good boy. He has his issues and so forth. But, he's a good kid most of the time. So a bit of a battle with us, on a daily basis. But we're getting there and he's a good kid.
Just getting back to the footy for a second. I hate getting off this topic because, mate, you've done a great job, and it's a great call. So, but one thing for me that over the last couple of weeks is they've actually looked like they've pushed Zach Williams back to the halfback flank, where I think he plays his best footy. But in return, they've also shoved Doherty on the wing, which I think Doherty plays better off the wing.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Look, I've. There are a couple of things that disappointed me about the last week, and hopefully that was shown to him. And as a leader, he needs to be better in a few areas. So hopefully, you know, and that was the thing. I thought in the last quarter when quite often this year when our leaders need to stand up and do something, you know, just grab the game by the scruff of the neck. We're just not doing it these days, and if our leaders aren't doing it, then you can't expect the soldiers to sort of jump in. You know, you can, but it doesn't happen very rarely. So, it was one. You know, look, it was a disappointing last quarter last week, there were a couple of things that really stood out, and I think hopefully. You know, Doherty and Cripps learn from that because they need to be better in crunch situations than what they were last week.
Yeah, it just seems that sometimes they just don't want to go that bit of extra pain to run that extra few yards, and it's like they just take the easy option, like, oh, he's gone, I won't bother chasing him, and it's getting frustrating for me, I know.
It gets frustrating for everyone. I mean, all you want your team to do is to go out and give it 100% week in, week out, and there's no excuses for not doing that. So, you know, that's the standard they really need to set. If they're not good enough and they get beat, then so be it. You know, you can say, at least they had a crack. You know, and you can be proud of them. But too many times this year, we've seen exactly what you're saying, just not putting in that effort, and it really does show out, especially when you're getting your bum kicked sort of thing in the last quarter, as we were last week. It really does stand out.
Yeah, that it does, mate. Yeah. Anyway, we better wrap it up, Dave. Mate, thank you again, as always, for sharing your precious time with us. Keep safe down there in Melbourne. I hope the numbers drop, because I know Craig and myself certainly want to get over there.
Yes, the 25th of this month.
I don't think we're going to be over there for the scheduled time we're supposed to be there, but let's hope that it sorts itself out there in Victoria and you can get out of lockdown and life can get back to some type of normality. But as always, mate, thank you for joining us. And as always, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Go Blues. Go Blues.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks, guys. Go the Mighty Blues.
Cheers.
David Bruce Jones, as always, he's always brutally honest, especially about the Doc, which he is true. He's right. Sorry, Mel. Good.
You know, as much of a legend as he's always been, and I've loved him for many, many years, my respect for Hife, especially with his son and the Prada Willy thing, I just get warm and fuzzies.
Yeah. While you're on your warm and fuzzies, tell us quickly about
Fight MMD. Next weekend, we've got the big slide. The big slide. It's the seventh year, and this gets me going again. Neil Danaher, obviously, we all know, got diagnosed with MND just over 7 years ago now, and he initiated the Fight MND Association, and he was only given at the time of his diagnosis 2 years to live, and here he is. Fighting on 7 years later.
Inspirational, isn't it?
It is. Yep. And, mate,
tough man.
It's all get your beanies. The story, the beanies have got play on now written on this year's.
So, I know you're getting emotional there. Just get out there and support the
get
cause.
Get your beanies, guys. Yeah, you've still got this. They sell out every year. Yep. I've got mine on the way. Yep. Get in quick because they're almost gone.
Yep. Our boy should probably get him down to the club.
Yes.
He'd be inspirational for us.
He is. But he's struggling at the
moment. I know he's struggling, but...
Anyway, just before we go, just a quick one. Our next function for the WA Blues will be on Saturday the 19th of June for the game against the Giants at the Carlisle Hotel and Distillery. Game starts at 5:25. Be on the big screen in the front bar. As always, free members raffle for those members who show their 2021 membership card. And as always, we'll have a signed, framed Guernsey to be raffled off. And as always, we always have those great specials, $7 pints, everything else. Jesse,
the
roast beef rolls, Jesse.
Well, we're there the last week because of the weather.
Just quickly, too, we don't have an official function tomorrow to watch the Eagles games, but any WA Blue Baggers wanting to come along and join and
to the Saint
in Alu, it's no official function. There's no auctions. There's no nothing. But if you want to come and watch the footy with other Carlton supporters, there'll be a few of us down there.
I'm not going.
You're not going? Yes, you are.
You know what? We'll probably get more people there if you're not there.
Yeah. But anyway, look, we better go. Thanks for another great show, guys.
Thank you.
Always thank you to our great mate, David Rhys-Jones, and our special guest, dual premiership star, the General Peter Dean. Yep. We could have spoken for another half an hour.
Oh, I had so many more questions.
But anyway, we better go. Look, anyway, keep listening to 91.3 Sport FM, and as always, go Blues.
Go Blues.
Against the famous old dog.